Hey everybody, welcome to episode 37 of It's Just Bodybuilding. Of course, Dusty Hanshaw, myself, and as if you needed any more, we also have Sergio Oliva Jr. today on It's Just Bodybuilding. Okay, Dusty, what do you think? Big show today?
Huge show today. I mean, you know, we got a guy trapped in another country, and all he wants to do is be on this show, and that tells me something.
Yeah, of all the places to be stuck, eh?
That's terrible. Terrible. Beautiful beaches. Ugh.
So before we get rolling, remember to like, subscribe, share, comment, do all this stuff that helps us. You know how this stuff works. Click, click, click. That's how you drive the show for us. You want to do us any favors, just start tapping, start sharing, do what you got to do. Thanks very much to everyone, by the way. The feedback's been great. What do you think, Dusty?
I just wanted to add in, if somebody wanted to Venmo me directly also, that's more than welcome. Nah, I don't, if we're just asking for help in general, I mean, fuck. All the people that watch this, they could be like $11 if each of them gives us a buck.
Someone told me we should start a Patreon page.
What is a Patreon page?
It's like a more academic thing. Like, you know, some of the people that do podcasts, you know, political podcasts and stuff, they'll have a Patreon account. It's kind of like a GoFundMe, but it's like you're paying for a subscription and you're deciding what you think they're worth.
Oh, fuck. I don't want to do that. I do that all the time. That's when they leave. Fuck. No.
Hey, we might. Maybe
I don't
want to
be rated anymore.
Maybe we get dimes from everybody. Dimes from everybody, Dusty.
Yeah, I love that you have the big goals, but I'm just not ready to be rated publicly. Right. I lie to myself currently since there's not like a scoreboard.
Right. You know? Okay.
She loved me.
Yes.
She's all three.
Are we bringing Sergio on?
It's time.
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
Man. What's up, Sergio?
What's up?
Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding.
Thanks, man. Finally, shit.
We wanted to make sure that the place in the Arnold went the way we said it would, and then we're like, okay, he's ready.
We wanted to catch you with nothing to do. You're stuck down there in the worst place in the world to be stuck, eh?
No, it's definitely the best place, right? I know. I'm loving it.
What's the timeline looking like? Like, I guess, do you just have to wait till there's a flight home? Is that all that is going on now? Like, tell us what happened.
Yeah, they have like emergency flights for Americans that are stuck, but they, of course, are charging an arm and a leg. So I would lose my credits for what I flew here with. And then, unfortunately, I flew to Melbourne because I was going to be the Arnold. I left all my stuff there. So I came here just for a holiday thinking I could just fly back to Melbourne. So now the problem is I can't get back to Melbourne to get all my shit to fly back home. But with the gyms not being open in San Diego, I'm really in no rush to go back.
Right.
Yeah. So you're on the Gold Coast, right? Tell everyone where you are.
Yeah. So for people that don't really know, so I flew to Melbourne for the Arnold, which is probably like a Chicago, New York, more metropolitan area. It's really city, not many beaches. And then Queensland is, it's like a 20-hour drive, but it's like the Miami Beach of Australia. So it's like where they actually go for vacation.
Yeah. Are you in Surfers? Are you in Broad Beach or what part of the Gold Coast?
Yeah, they're pretty much the same. Broad Beach and Surfers like across the street from each other. I was in Surfers and I was staying at this resort, which was like pretty gnarly because they were just giving it away because nobody's staying. But then it was just too expensive. So once I realized I was going to be here for another month, I had to get a house. So now I moved to this place, which is pretty nice.
That's cool. Looks like you're not far from the water.
Yeah, no. Right there.
Oh, shit.
You're definitely not in a rush to get back without a gym. You're like, fuck it.
Yeah, you got some, some of the people on the show already remember me talking about my time in Australia, but I lived right there on Broad Beach and Surfers Paradise and Southport for a long time back in the 90s. The bodybuilding community there was really cool. Like, they just took me in at the gym, and one guy got me a job and one guy got me a place to live. And so how have you been treated? Had a few guys help you out?
Yeah, man, it's actually, you know, been kind of like a blessing in disguise with all this. You know, you never want to wish this on anybody, but man, I've met so many people being stuck here. I've made new relationships with Aaron Politis, who's a 212 competitor. He actually
amazing bodybuilder.
Yeah, man, he really is. Like, I feel so bad, you know, like open guys were just only look at the open. We don't really pay attention to other classes. But man, he really could be a future Mr. Olympia. Like, he's young and he trains good. You know, there's a lot of people that you'll see that they have like a good physique, but then they don't really train right. I feel like that's going to kind of their physiques aren't going to go anywhere after their genetics don't take them anywhere further. But yeah, he trains well. And that's been really cool. The downside, of course, is the gyms are closed here. But him and another buddy of ours, Adam, they just put a bunch of money and built their own home gyms. And that's kind of what we've been doing, which is kind of cool. You know, and I was even telling when I did an interview with Jay, that this is kind of forcing us all to kind of go back to our roots, which is for some people, not even roots that they even had. Most people are born into a gym with tons of equipment and get to play with all these toys. Where like my dad, you know, they were just like figuring shit out. Like they had like a couple bars and dumbbells and a bench. And then they're like, how many things can we make out of this? So it's kind of cool. It's forcing everybody to kind of go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Dusty and I were joking that, you know, there'd be a lot of people come out of quarantine with a good squat. And everyone will be like, but they won't be good at anything else for a little while. Their hips will hurt on the leg press, and their knees will hurt on the hack squat, but they'll be able to squat, you know. So you guys keeping it basic in that gym? I know who you're talking about. So I've seen the Instagram, and there's quite a bit of equipment in there. But three of you monsters in there must be tight.
Yeah, no, it actually works out. And there's literally everything. I can't even think of any piece of equipment that they don't have in there. They've been traveling all over Australia, getting equipment from people, even tricking a couple older guys that had some like priceless materials. And then they'd be like, oh, man, I want this cable machine. I'll pay $1,000. And then the other Adam would be like, no, man, that's too much. And then they'd be like winking. And then the guy would be like, OK, you can have it. So they're just like shysting a bunch of people over here that don't even know what they have. Because I think a bunch of people have all this equipment that they've had for years, and they've been trying to get rid of it on eBay and stuff like that and Craigslist. And then now that this boom happened with the corona, it's like almost like they're the hottest commodity.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. The equipment situation right now. People think that I have all these hookups. They call me, can you get me a squat rack? I'm like, I don't know. Look on Facebook, man. Like, just go on Facebook. I don't know. So what about like, you know, your competition plans? Like, are you staying, like, are you eating for, do you have is there any date in your head at all? Like, I mean, everyone's just so rattled by this. Like,
yeah, I understand too, because you know, bodybuilding is a business, and people they can't just be like, it's just up in the air, you know, letting us not really have any kind of date. And I also understand the same standpoint too. If you say it's going to be like a really later date, then everyone's going to get off their diet, you know, immediately. So I think they're trying to keep people kind of like, should I stay on it? And it's true. That's what I'm doing. You know, I'm kind of like half in, half out. But after, so a lot of people know that I got ready for the Arnold, but I actually took the year off before. So I had really been prepping for a long time. I had been on a lot of stuff for a long time, and I'm really about health and kind of the longevity of this. So I'm actually cleaning my body out and taking a break. So I'm hoping, it sounds shitty, I'm hoping that the Olympia is going to be pushed back to like November or December. But then the further they push it back, which I've already talked to like Luke Sandow, you push it back too far, you start getting into the Arnold. And now you have to choose between the two. And if you're not really a first caller at the Olympia, it's a smarter investment to put all your eggs into the Arnold. So I think that's what they're dealing with now. It's like, do they want to push it back? Because look at the New York Pro. It's in September now. Yeah. They're not going to have the New York Pro and then 2 weeks later, the Olympia. You still have people that haven't qualified, like Rami, Rolly. There's huge names that aren't even qualified yet. And what are we going to do? All jump into the Tampa Pro and the Boston and the New York, you know, and then a week later.
Do you think they might just say, hey, everyone that was qualified last year is qualified again?
Yeah, that'd be great, except it would suck for me. I didn't do the Olympia last year.
Wow.
Yeah, you know. So there's a few people, right? Nathan, he didn't do the Olympia. I think there was a lot. I think that's what the gripe was with the Olympia. There were so many people that didn't do it that it was kind of lackluster. Mm-hmm. So I think they would maybe have to do like you know, maybe some people from the Arnold.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. That's a great idea. Like, just trickle it back a little bit. Get some people in there.
I think with the new owner of the Olympia, I think he's got a lot to prove. And I think if you just kind of do this, like, forced Olympia right at the last minute, you're going to get the same thing you did last year, where people are just like, man, you know what? I'll just wait till next year. And then it's going to be another year where everyone's bashing Brandon Curry like it's his fault. No one showed up. And I think that there's no way in hell they're going to have another Olympia like they did last year.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Plus, fans have to be able to go. I mean, that's the other flip that I think people are forgetting is we don't even know if we're going to be allowed to put 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people into a room. And as a promoter of that size of a show, I mean, the amount of money you're kicking out, you can't, I mean, technically Jake could afford to lose it, but I don't think he wants to.
Man, especially year one.
Well, yeah, right.
You know,
I mean, it's a tough line.
You want to get on a plane? You want to be the first ones to get on a plane too? You know, it's like, there's going to be a bunch of people that even, let's say they open it up tomorrow. There's still going to be a couple people that are like, man, you can go out. I'm going to let you guys guinea pig it and see what happens, you know, no matter what. And then this is the hard part too, like everyone's forgetting that the Olympics was canceled too. You know, there's tons of people that were getting ready for 4 years for something. I can't even imagine getting ready for 4 years for something and then it gets canceled. But at least they can like run on a track and they can practice and they can do kind of like Olympic stuff. We can't without a gym. Right. So then it's going to turn into, let's say they open it up. Let's say that we can have 3,000 or 4,000 people at the Olympia. Then it's going to become the who had the best home gym, Mr. Olympia, because right now it's just Bonac's got a good gym. You know, some of the Canadian guys up there, they got good gyms. Flex is still working out. There's no way he's got the Dragon's Lair and not working out, even though they say they're not. But right. It's just going to turn into who has the most badass gym and you're going to be automatically Mr. Olympia unless you go to Kuwait.
Yeah. Are they still in the gym in Kuwait?
Of course they are. They never stop.
Of course they are.
Yeah, it's stop. Dubai. It's Dubai. Dubai is saying that they're not training, but they're all training. They're all fucking training.
Yeah.
I think more or less everyone is training somehow. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people just realize that the best thing to do is to keep it off of social so the world's not mad at them. You know, I'm like, hey, if you had access to a gym, you'd be here too, asshole. Let's not even forget that.
Yeah, I had to message a couple of people back because they'll message me like, man, you're so fucking lucky. Man, I'm like, well, how am I lucky? This is how I pay my bills. Like, if I'm not doing it because I want to look good at the beach. Like, if I don't go to the gym, I'm literally not going to be able to pay my rent. So it's a big difference. But in the same aspect, too, like, you know, not to call on anybody's names. But, yeah, there's people that are posting insane amounts of workouts, and then their hashtags are like extra stabs in people's, you know,
right,
that don't have gyms, which is causing like Guy and a bunch of other people to snap on them. So I think there's a happy medium. That's why I've just been putting on my story. If people want to watch my story, they can watch it. I think today is actually the first time I ever posted an actual workout on my actual Instagram.
I mean, you must get a lot of messages from people. Like, you know, I'm just taking the messages we get and extrapolating it to your following and your level of stardom. You must get a lot of messages from people that are having a really hard time right now, because I know Dusty and I do. You know, what have you noticed from those messages, and what would you have to say to those people?
Yeah, because I mean, you could tell the people that are making the rules of closing gyms down and stuff like that, don't go to a gym, because they only look at it just like a kind of like a lunk, gotta look good, get your biceps big. There's so many people that work out for mental health, and they do have mental illnesses if they are stuck at the house and they're not getting out. I've had people message me that they're literally losing their minds. And yeah, you can go out and you can buy things. Of course, everyone's upping their prices of at-home stuff. The prices are skyrocketed, which I get it. You know, it's business. But I've just been trying to tell people to kind of get back to the basics. You know, like, you don't need a gym to do abs. And, you know, some people don't even know how to do, like you said, a proper squat, a proper lunge. And I think kind of just practicing that, stretching, getting on stuff like that. Even I've just been like doing cardio on a kayak and just things I would never do, because once the gym is back open, we all know we're going to be back, you know, full on, you know, and we might not have time for maybe a few things that we can do now. But yeah, it's more people that I don't think they have anything but the gym that are messaging me. And I really don't even have any answers for them, because if I was stuck in another country, like in the States, it's different. Maybe you can, we have things more available than people in like third world countries, but some of these people, that's all they have. And now that it's closed, you know, you can tell that it's really bothering them. But yeah, I really don't even have any answers for them. I just keep telling them it's almost done, you know, and I feel like we've been saying that for a month, but I do feel like it's almost done. I do feel like some places are already in remission and it should start to get better, but just the unknown is killing everybody.
What have been the biggest, like, I know obviously you're stuck away from home, but aside from like that, what would you say has been the hardest part of this for yourself? You know, like, you know, for me, my business is closed, right? The gym I own has been forced to close. So that's been a huge amount of stress. You know, Dusty and I have talked about how, you know, we've lost some clients because people can't train and they just can't afford to pay you right now. So your business goes down a little. And what are your main concerns and worries and things that you kind of have to say, fuck, this sucks.
The only thing that's a major thing for me that I kind of think about on a daily is just my dog. I really just miss her. It sounds kind of crazy, but.
Oh, wow. A big one.
Yeah. Australia doesn't let you bring animals. I don't know if people remember Johnny Depp got in big trouble when he tried to sneak his dog here, but right. Yeah. So we brought her to Ohio. So I was able to have her there, but we went back to San Diego for like a day and then flew out. Cause I don't fly well. So I actually came here early and that's why I was the only one here and got stuck. So I miss her. And then, I think I just don't look at the business stuff because I feel like everybody's hurting. And so when you ask me that question, the first thing I think about is my dog. But yeah, I started my own supplement business. I literally started it at the Arnold, Ohio, and then the expo was canceled. Right. So it's already just from day one been on kind of like a shitstorm. So that was kind of bad. But yeah, same thing I talked about with my business partner the other day. There's just no point in stressing about it because I can't even imagine bigger companies like, man, there's got to be like, man, Redcon, they got to be losing their ass. Like, there's so many companies that have got to be just stressing out completely. And it sounds so shitty, but it actually makes me feel better because I'm like, man, my problems could be way worse. You know, we bought enough subs to deal with the booth for the Ohio, but that was it. We didn't have like warehouses full. And now we have to try and get rid of it. And I don't have to get rid of athletes. I don't have to fire people. Like, I feel so bad for Aaron and everyone over there and other companies, too, that they're for sure letting people go left and right because they have to. So I think I actually haven't been, to answer your question, I haven't been really stressing about anything because I keep thinking about someone else in a worse position. Same thing I told Jay, I'm so grateful I was able to do Ohio. There were so many people that were making Australia Arnold their debut, or they were like Nathan, yep. Nathan Dasha, you know, he dealt with a lot of issues personally. And then this was his big comeback. And I had that was my show in Ohio. I had personal problems. And then Ohio was my, you know what, I'm going to put everything into it. And then it worked out. I couldn't even imagine if right before you pulled out the rug from underneath me, I would be so lost. You know, and then Blessing, that was his pro debut. We were all excited to see what he was going to look like. And I can't imagine what he was thinking, too, putting that all into it. Redcon invested into him, So I just keep thinking of those things that there's so much worse. People losing businesses completely. That kind of makes me feel like I'm not really stressing about it. And I think when you're stuck here, too, it makes things a little bit easier.
Stuck in heaven.
Yeah. If I was stuck in an apartment in New York, you know, like, oh my God, I'd for sure be doing one of the weird hairstyles that everybody's doing, shaving my head some random way.
Yeah. I got some questions here for you. We put up a post and this one was good because this is kind of one of those questions where I just know you're going to have an answer. Yeah, well, it's me and Dusty were talking. You'd be good to ask questions. It's not hard to get Sergio to talk, right?
Yeah.
So, this guy's asking, what's your highest and lowest point in your competitive career?
Well, the Arnold is the highest for sure.
So your most recent show?
Yeah, just like as on like my stocks, you know, I definitely raised my stock up for sure. But me personally, the New York will always be, no matter what. Not so much that it was my pro debut, but I was broke, poor. And there's you know, you guys have a good amount of listeners that have been following me since then. But for the ones that weren't, I had got a sponsor pulled out on me. I think it was like 4 weeks before the New York Pro. With my wife. So I had a bunch going on, just that. And then once the sponsor pulled out, I didn't have enough money to pay my rent. I remember at the end, I was just kind of like watching Netflix on my phone with my roommates because the power was off. The gas was turned off when we got back from New York. And I literally bought a one-way ticket to New York. I had no idea what I was going to do if I lost. And a normal show, that's not that crazy, but the New York Pro is the third hardest show in the world. And right. the year before I did it, it was Dexter, Rolly, Nathan, Kuklo. And if I had entered that year, I would have got fifth and I wouldn't have had any money to fly back, you know? So I just happened to pick a good year that those monsters didn't show up and I won, and I used the money that I won to pay for a ticket back, turned my gas on, paid for my rent. Like, I had no idea what I was going to do. Like, I don't even know. So that one was just such a life changing thing. And it kind of helped to, with my own stuff with my dad. Like, I think getting into bodybuilding, and I used to tell people that it didn't bother me, people comparing me or I have to be as good as him, but I think it did. I think really low key, it did bother me a lot. So when I won New York, it was kind of just like a thing for myself to say, like, man, no, I am good at this and I can do this. And even though people may think I'm riding on my dad's, you know, name, I know I'm not. I know I'm not. Right. So that one changed my life for sure. The lowest part would be, when I was getting ready for the Chicago Pro, which was 2 years ago, I found out that my wife was having an affair. And that crushed me. I was dead and I wanted to give up on bodybuilding. And a lot of people already know the story, but just kind of like a fast draft on it. I only found out because the wife of the guy that she was having an affair with called me, and she was pregnant. And of course, after she said that to me, I was done. Like, I just didn't want to compete for the rest. I wasn't going to like quit bodybuilding, but I was definitely done for the year. And here she is, like 7 months pregnant, telling me that, you know what, I need to do the show them that I can do it, you know, and I can be strong and blah, blah, blah. And I think while she's pregnant, dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with, what was I going to do? Tell her like, no, this is so hard. This eating fish and doing cardio is hard. So she actually... She actually got me to do the show, and we became really good friends, and I ended up qualifying for the Olympia, you know, and that was the first time I ever went to the Olympia. So it actually was like I was in a huge depression. I was like a very dark place. And then because of her and everything that happened, all the people I met in Australia, because I came out here for my wife, ended up being the best thing ever. And that's who now I know here. So it's life is insane. So that would be the ups and downs for sure, easily.
I like how your down only lasts like this long because you found a way to flip that into like a push. I mean, granted, obviously the bad was still bad, but I mean, I think that's some people should look at it. You have something that really, like, you've done it twice now in this interview. You look at a situation and say, man, mine sucks, but hers is worse. So maybe I should get off my ass, or, you know, ours sucks in this, but people have lost their businesses with, you know, the virus and stuff. I mean, that's two for two. If you haven't, if you guys are listening, haven't figured out a way to start looking at your life a little bit different, you know?
Well, it's also the common thread thing that we talk about. I mean, we've had, you know, I mean, obviously it's just bodybuilding. So we have all a bunch of muscle heads on here, but you know, you know, like we do, Sergio, that this industry is full of a bunch of really fascinating individuals that pursue this strange passion for some reason that we can't even really fully explain ourselves. But everyone seems to have this ability to handle challenges. It's a real common thread. Like, you know, Hollingshead we had on told us some crazy stories, and, you know, every single person we've had on has always has the same sort of attitude. So it's funny that it keeps coming up because we notice it with a lot of the guests. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's kind of what I talked about with that speech with Arnold. I feel so bad because I know he wanted to talk about my dad, and he started that conversation off talking about him competing back in the day. And I just don't know my dad. Like, I don't know the bodybuilder. My dad was done bodybuilding by the time I was alive. So it was really great for Arnold. And he said he was proud of me. You know, that made me feel really good. But the main thing that I was talking about in my speech was that the bodybuilding community and the fitness industry are two different people. And the bodybuilding industry, we're just different. I think because we're going to do this no matter what. If there was no social media, if there was no money and no sponsors, we'd still be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think now there's so many hands. Like, luckily I had Cormier, you know, getting ready for this prep, and he would tell me all the stories back in the day. And really, it was just so much better. Everything was better. Sometimes I'd tell him, like, man, I hate you, because the things that he would talk about, I'm never going to have, because now And that's my point is back then there was one pot, you know, gold, and only the open guys were just reaching into it. And now we have so many people reaching to the same pot, and it's actually making us turn against each other, because now it's like, no, this is mine, you know, and everyone wants to, like, they want to make their money, and everyone's kind of cutthroat now, where back in the day it was more camaraderie. So now I think with the corona, it's flipped, and now the bodybuilding street people are going to stick together, and they're going to be a lot closer. And that's what I was saying at the Arnold. The only people that were in the stands were real bodybuilding fans, because all the people that went for Bang energy drinks and free samples and wanted to wait in line to take a picture with some ass model, they weren't there because they didn't travel because the expo was closed. So every single person in the stands, probably the first time since I've been bodybuilding, since I've been a pro, since 2015, that we've actually only had real bodybuilding fans in the stands. And the crowd was smaller, but it wasn't that much smaller. It was, I think people were expecting it to be empty, and it wasn't. And I really loved how everybody, cause some people, no matter what, got on a plane or got in their car and drove or flew to Ohio, and everything was canceled. So at some point everybody got in their car and the show was canceled, and they still got in their car and said, man, you know what? It might open back up. And then those were the ones that were there to able to see that show. And I thought it was a great show. So I was glad that everybody was there. But yeah, I think we're just a different breed. And I think that's really what it is. And the ones do it for building their resumes and eBooks, they're going to deflate. And that's what they're doing. They're disappearing left and right during this corona.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I knew guys that were going, that went to the Arnold, and I said, what are you going to do? And they're like, I don't know. I guess if the whole thing's canceled, we'll just catch a few workouts at American Barbell and we'll come home. Like, and they were okay with that. You know what I mean? They're like, fuck, maybe we'll run into whoever, you know, at the gym and get a picture. And that was worth the whole trip, the flight, the connecting flight, all the bullshit. You know what I mean? And, but it does say something about the bodybuilding community, which is, you know, maybe it's going to make people sort of, I don't know, reinvest in the community themselves too, you know, when you realize, you know, everyone's coming together like that, it can really, maybe, you know, maybe the gym culture might change a little bit, you know. I mean, you got a pretty good gym to train at there in San Diego though, so I don't think it can get much better than that.
it is the best gym. I moved for that gym, actually. I mean, LA sucks, so it wasn't hard to leave there, but yeah, anyone who's not been to the San Diego, the gym, now that they changed the name, it is the best gym on the West Coast for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. I've only trained there once. I went there and shot an episode of my show there. But man, I was always had people telling me, they're like, you got to go to World Gym San Diego, you know, and they just kept telling me year after year. And then, you know, I kept hearing it from everyone and finally got there. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to find gyms with a vibe, even 20% of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the members, of course. I mean, that's going to always be tough to find, because exactly now we're going to have so many people that are just trying to enter a men's physique class or just trying to kind of do one show so that way they can build clients online. But the best part about the gym is the owners, the people who run the gym. And that's what's really rare. And you can tell by the kind of equipment they have in there. They have equipment that my dad used, and they have, you know, brand new stuff that's just coming off. So that's going to be the hard part. But I actually think this is actually going to change. Appreciative. I mean, who doesn't appreciate the gym more in general? But I think it might make the owners of these gyms more appreciative too, because now that these members are gone, they might actually really appreciate people's like inside. And like, I've been to so many gyms where I'm like, man, you know, like this machine's broken or it's not working or it's just not even really a good, or for like someone who's over 5'6", it really is not a good, and they just don't care. It doesn't matter, because they're going to get their same daycare passes, they're going to get the same training packages. Yep. And that's what gyms are now. They're all about selling the packages. So they can get you for daycare, training, basketball, you know, whatever it is. They don't really care about someone who's just going to go in there and work out and try and make themselves either for a competition or not. And I keep saying bodybuilders, but I mean powerlifters too, because we're all the same. We're all going in and training for just that purpose. That's it. We're not training so that way we could take pictures and selfies in the mirror and then post that and say, let me prep you for a show, you know? So it's like a completely different breed. So I keep saying bodybuilders, but it's definitely powerlifters too, because you guys are sick fucks too.
Our lifters are sick fucks, man.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
I actually have a story about seeing you in the gym, Sergio. You know, Dusty and I were, I don't know, how would you describe us, Dusty? We're hardcore, but we appreciate someone who just fucking trains us.
Right.
No. Oh, and you know, that's just how I felt I had to do it. And I mean, we've all seen Dusty do the stupid videos he puts up. And you know, so when I see people, you know, that typical sort of, you know, talking and laughing during their workout and stuff like that, I mean, even though we all do a bit of that, I always think, ah, fuck, I doesn't train hard enough. You know, like, it's just a reflex thought. I can't help it. And I remember being at Gold's Venice. It was the LA Fit Expo. And of course, went to Venice, you know, get a workout in. And you know how it is during LA Fit. It's kind of a bit of a social thing going on. Everyone's in there training and kind of socializing, and they haven't seen each other for a while, you know. And I was training legs in the back room. And there was, I was just training by myself. I was on one of the old leg presses back there, just going ape shit. And I came out to the front room, and I remember I was soaked from head to toe. And I remember Rob Bailey goes, "Holy shit, did you get in the shower?" And I was like, "No, man, I'm just training hard." He goes, "Oh, you're training too hard for an expo." And he laughed. And then I remember I looked over and I saw you. And you were training and you looked really irritated. And you were training super hard, and there was people all around you. You could tell they were like taking selfies and, you know, ab shots and group shots. And you were trying to train on a machine, and the guy was spotting you and your training partner. You guys were going really hard, and you were completely ignoring the outside world. And I remember thinking, oh, that's fucking awesome.
Somebody gets it.
I was like, that, I can appreciate that. He doesn't want to take part in the bullshit. He'll talk to everyone after, like, you know, but like, everyone was standing right by there. You know, it was a big social club right beside where you were, but the machine you were on, you were just fucking blinders. And I just remember thinking that, and you know, it's paid off.
Yeah. Right. Know?
I mean, that's just the math on it. Where do you think get that from?
Man, you know, I get it because I've put everything into this. When I first started to bodybuild, like a lot of people know, my dad didn't want me to bodybuild. So I actually had to run away from a 3-time Mr. Olympia to be able to start bodybuilding. And I moved to Florida. I drove to Florida. I left Chicago and left. So I passed up scholarships, full rides for track and swimming and water polo and football. I had a full ride for all of those because I was just this 150-pound guy, 6-foot-tall. And I was like, I'm going to be a pro one day. I just made sure that I was going to go all out. There was never going to be a time where I was just like even getting a job. If I got a job and it didn't allow me to eat my meals every 2 hours or not be able to work out, I didn't even work that job.
Fuck that job.
Yeah, right. I'm going to make it one day, you know, like, and everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Like, I would rather work at Taco Bell and be able to know that I can sneak off and eat than work an office job that, man, I could probably make more and probably move up in the company. But if it was anything that was ever like, you can move up in this company, I don't want that job. I know I'm going to be leaving. I know at some point I'm going to be a professional bodybuilder and I'm not going to work a job. I'm not going to work a 9-to-5 anymore. So I think because I just put all my eggs into one basket, I think it kind of came into my training too. And obviously my dad's got it coming out of me somewhere in my workouts, and my mom. People forget my mom was a pro too. So and she's actually the one who taught me. I've only been in the gym one time with my dad, and it was for this fake ass photo shoot with Muscle and Fitness where they made it seem like we had been training together, and it was a catastrophe. And it was actually with Fuad's wife. Uh-huh. So it's actually my favorite story because that's how I met her. But yeah, he was so stubborn. Oh, he was so he was just not working with anyone. They'd be like, yeah, you know, can you like pretend like you're spotting him? And he'd be like, I know what I'm doing. Like, he was that guy. So we've only been in the gym one time, and it was actually my mom that I've been in the gym several times with. So she's the one that actually taught me everything. But I think also too at Gold's, it's different. I think it's different for the people that train there normally. Mm-hmm. And then you're right, the LA Fit Expo, even the Olympia, once it gets about a week out, man, it is just Gymshark Central, and they are just filled to the brim. And again, you'll never hear anyone have a bad story where they say they came up to me
I was not implying that at all, but you were in the zone. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, the best way to do it is just deter them from the beginning with your insane training, because they don't even want to come up to you.
Get the hat right about here.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Right, exactly. Unless it's leg day, I'm pretty good. I'll have a full conversation, probably sometimes too long of a conversation with you, because the problem is I am, and this is what I'm going to say every day until I fucking win the Mr. Olympia, I am the biggest fan of this sport. And every four story that someone has, I've had that. I've waited in a line at an expo for an hour and a half just to get to someone who wore their sunglasses and didn't stand up, and they didn't even look at me. They just signed the autograph and pushed it to the side, you know, or I ran up to somebody in the gym, waited, you know, because I didn't want to like do it during their set. I didn't want to do it during a workout, waited the whole workout just for me, like, man, I don't have time for this kid, and walks out. And what I would always do until I won my pro card, I never introduced myself as my dad's son. I always wanted to just be a fan and see how they treat people. And I have so many stories of people now who want to pretend that they like me, but they were so rude to me when I was young. So I think that automatically comes out to me, because I know, and I said this in the interview I did with Jay, I met Jay and he was throwing up in a garbage can, and I was having the worst day ever of my life, and he was throwing up and just immediately took the time, talked to me. It was the best thing. And actually like rejuvenated my like sense of wanting to be a bodybuilder, that I know now that that's possible. I know that there might be somebody on the brim of, man, do I want to do this or not? And they might have a conversation with me and be like, man, fuck it, I'm doing it. Or they can have a bad conversation of like, man, I don't want to be like that jag off. So I think that's always in the back of my head.
I hear that. I know Ron knows. I was, when I was first starting, I hired one of the well-known coaches. And long story short, when I met him, he didn't even know I worked with him. And he was my first interview when I won junior nationals with Aceto, and he has still had no idea.
Oh, it's definitely George Farah.
I'm like, you don't, this is even better that you don't know what's going on here. And I'm just laughing the whole.
Seems easy to remember.
I was named after Dirt. Yeah, I mean, that's fucked up.
There wasn't a lot of tall guys in the amateurs, and you were one of the few. So you definitely stand out automatically, let alone write your name. Something.
but yeah, it was just one of those. So I'm the same way with clients as well. People are like, oh man, you're really on it. I'm like, I got fucked once. And it was $1,200. So I paid three payments. That was like my life savings back then.
I've seen some crazy stuff. I saw a really famous retired pro. He was sitting at a booth on his phone, and this kid came up and stood right in front of him. And I remember thinking, like, wow, it's been like 4 minutes, and that kid's just standing there, and he hasn't looked up yet. And I kept looking over, and I kept sort of counting the minutes. And eventually, after several minutes, he just looked up, and he goes, like that, like, go away.
Oh, shit.
And so the kid just like turned and he looked at his buddy, and they both looked at each other like they were confused, and they just walked away. And I was just thinking, holy fuck. Like, I couldn't believe it. Meanwhile, I was at the mutant booth with Rich Piana, who's like shaking 3,000 hands in one day. You know what I mean? And not peeing the whole day.
Like, yeah, right. No way.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, there's a fucking huge difference between the attitude on these two different people. Like, it was the biggest possible example you could have. And they're standing right across from one another. You know,
there's a few pros that went straight to stardom. They went straight from amateur to like superstar pro. And they skipped that, like, you know, right, waiting in line and stuff like that. And I think every pro now should have to like go through that part, because it is going to change you. You're absolutely going to change the way you treat people. But now that I've done the body, I've done the fan, I've done the pro, being a pro, and now the business side too, I get all aspects of it, because right, that guy on the phone. He was probably fighting with his wife. He probably was going through a divorce, and it was the worst situation. And then that one chance, that fan had a bad experience with him. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what was going on. And so now I understand, you know, being like, when I work in, I was thinking about working the expo for the Arnold, which everybody was telling me, you're nuts. Like, what are you going to do? Because I'm like, man, I'm launching my company. I got to go there for an hour, you know? And even though I was already thinking, because even my family was like, man, you know, because that's how I am. I don't take breaks for lunch. I don't go to the bathroom. Like, I don't sit down. I will not sit down once. And that's what my family said. You're out of your mind, because unless you're going to do it like the pros you don't like, where you sit down and you just talk to people from sitting, you cannot go, because you're going to be on your feet all day. You're not going to eat, and you know how you are. And I know that they're right. Because once you're in the moment, man, I love talking to people, because I feel like I'm doing this for the real fans of bodybuilding. I don't think a lot of people that are like fake fans really follow me, because what I say shit all the time that hurts their feelings. Like I'm the red pill bodybuilder. I say it all the time. I don't want anyone who takes a blue pill in this sport. So when they come up and they want to talk to me, I know that they're real people, because yeah, you have to be a real person to follow me, because exactly. I hurt a lot of people's feelings with the shit I say, but I don't lie. I'm never going to lie.
The only blue pills that are okay are the old Russian D-balls. Just saying.
We're too young to know about those.
I can tell you, boys. I'll tell you, your kids, about them one day. They're legendary.
I think that's what my dad took.
Oh, my God. I have something in common with your dad that I don't have in common with you. That's great. It's freaking me out.
Fuck, it's too far.
That's hilarious.
What about how well do you know Arnold?
Yeah, so that was the craziest part. So I've known him, like, man, I've known him my whole life. He stayed in my house when I was in Chicago, you know, but this is what I say all the time. And it's been the same relationship with my dad, too. I've actually felt like I've gotten closer with my dad and understood him more the more I got into bodybuilding. So depending on who you are is your relationship with anybody. So when I was a little kid, Arnold's just one of my dad's friends. My dad is just a cop, and he's just really big. And the more I get into this. It was when he filmed that Red Heat movie with Belushi. Like early 80s. Sorry, there's a fucking spider biting me. Goddamn Australia.
Yeah, they're only poisonous.
So it was Red Heat. So I had to have been like 5, 6 years old. I was very little. So right, I've had these experiences, and then there was a time that my dad worked out with him at the YMCA, and then I passed out the trophies for the Arnold Australia Classic like 3 or 4 years ago. I was just backstage, and I was with Labrada, so I was the one presenting the awards. So I went backstage, and I had like the longest conversation with Arnold, and then that was the first time that I was a bodybuilder and having a conversation with him, because I remember he put me on his Snapchat, and I was like so nervous, and he's like, here's the next superstar in bodybuilding, and then puts the camera on me, and of course my friends still to this day make fun of me, because I was like, I don't know what to say. I was like, how's it going? It was like the gayest response ever. But right, that's when I realized, man, I'm like at stardom, you know, but I've known this guy my whole life. And then it wasn't until this Arnold that now was the first time Arnold talked to me as me. You know, it wasn't just telling me some stories about my dad. I wasn't just the son of someone else. You could tell when someone's looking at you and they're having conversations with you.
Yes.
And when they're giving you the old back in my day with your dad talk, you know, so it was really different. And really that's how it was across the board. Even with people that I like Dexter, I've trained with Dexter, but once I was backstage, and especially, so when you're in the top five, as you're coming down off stage, they either tell you yes or no. When you go either one way to the backstage or the other way. So it really was like, cause that's when you find out. And me, like Dexter, he doesn't have to worry. Me, I was right on the cusp with Cedric and Kukul. I didn't know if I was going to make that cut. So I got the, you know, go back to the locker room, and I was like, yes. And then once you're back there, now it's only the top five. And I think then, man, everybody was talking to me different. Everyone was just looking at me different. And I think that was the first time I can say that that's why I made a post about it. I'm finally where I feel like I belong and not just some fan or a son or something like that. So Arnold, when he was talking to me on stage, when he was doing the whole spiel about my dad and stuff like that, that was more like the, you know, the political talk.
But backstage,
what people couldn't see was when he was telling me about how he thinks I could be the future of this sport. And he was telling me how there are guys that have really classic lines, but they're small. They're small guys. And then there's guys that are huge and they have no classic lines. And he's like, man, you being 280 and 5'11", he's like, you could still get even bigger and you could probably be the future. And so just having that conversation with Arnold, I don't have to tell anybody how insane that is. So that was really cool. But yeah, now my relationship with him is now he wants to like get together. He wants to like do a workout. I'd like to do like a pumping iron kind of thing with him. I think that'd be really cool. Maybe he's so funny. Arnold is really low key a hilarious person. I was telling him I would like to redo the ballerina part of pumping iron. You know, it'd be really cool if he's the one who's doing the administrating of that part. You know, maybe me and another pro. I talked about it with Brion, maybe us practicing that part and doing that. That'd be really cool to do that with Iron. But yeah, now it's just like, oh yeah, Arnold. Yeah, you know, we're friends.
So you, when you said Arnold, you know, stayed at your house when you were a kid, you know, obviously that's mega movie star time period. You know what I mean? That's $20 million box office superstar time period. So, you know, when you're going to school, when you're 9, 10 years old, and you tell your friends Arnold stayed at your house, this must be an interesting moment.
No, that's how much bodybuilding didn't mean anything to me. I didn't even have that conversation. It was just another one of my dad's friends, right? I know, I try and think back of what actually would have caught my attention in the sport, and nothing. Literally nothing. My dad had his own gym. He even ran a bunch of powerhouses. Mm-hmm. You know, there was every time the Olympia was in Chicago, I went to the Olympia one time with him. And I love this story too, because it shows
Dorian won that.
He did win that one. Yeah. And it shows when you different than when you were just only watching. And that's why I tell people, just do a novice show. Just do the slowest show you can do, because it teaches you so much about yourself. But I remember, I mean, 18 or something like that. And I remember I was in the crowd and I thought Nasser should have won. And then there was this other guy who was yelling that Sean Ray should have won. And I remember watching them and they're just fighting with each other. No, Nasser. They're like literally going at it. No, fuck Sean, fuck Nasser, blah, blah, blah. And then Dorian wins. And then you see them at the end walking out together like they're best friends. Like, yeah, fuck Dorian. You know? It's like,
we both got screwed. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, I was just running around at my dad's booth. God knows who I would have probably ran into. And I can't even remember.
Oh, that's so wild, man.
Yeah, it's different. It's different being the same thing too. I saw Arnold's son at the Arnold's. I didn't even realize, because I've actually been trying to meet him. Not the one I took a picture with. So I took a picture with his illegimate child, Joe.
One that looks a lot like him with long hair.
Does it? It actually looks better, more like him than his other kids do. Right. And he's actually a really cool kid. It was the first time I met him. We ran into each other. And I did the victory pose and he did his dad's pose. And it was cool. It broke the internet. But I've actually been wanting to meet Patrick, because I feel like we've had kind of a similar life. We both grew up when our dads were these mega superstars. And then now we have to fill those shoes. It's impossible. So I've actually always wanted to meet him. But then when I go out to get the trophy for the best poser, I was just in awe of Arnold, that I didn't even realize until I got off stage that my friends were like, bro, did you see Patrick? He was right there next to you. And I was like, fuck, of course, I finally can meet this guy. And I'm literally just starstruck, not even paying attention to him. So he messaged me on Instagram and was saying that he wanted to get together and maybe talk about some stuff. So that's really cool. So I'm really excited to do that, because I don't mind going and hanging out at Arnold's house at all.
No, man.
Be terrible, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
Right, Dusty. No, I just wondered if you had more of the viewers' questions, so we don't miss the chance to throw them out there.
Well,
we always do this, Sergio. We get 100 questions. We ask 3.
Yeah, because then we wind up we take 3 questions and mold them into a question and ask you. You know what I mean?
I'll probably answer them anyway.
Tell us about, we got to bring this up. Aceto told us a few legendary stories about the hotel room etiquette at the Arnold. And he goes, fucking guys, he goes, people don't realize how amazing of a bodybuilder Sergio is to be that good with Cormier in your room.
Yeah, I heard him talk about that show with Palumbo, and he for sure exaggerated, for sure. So first of all,
Chris exaggerate? No way.
it sounded pretty amazing, but it wasn't like that. So one, me, I can't smoke before I work out. I wish I could. There's tons of pros that I've even trained with where they can't train unless they smoke. But me, like you said, I need that anger. I probably am letting out low-key a bunch of my issues into the weights. So if I smoke, I'm just laying listening to music and I'm chilling and now I just want to have the conversation with people. So even though I feel good and I get a good pump and I get a good connection with the muscle, I can't get that crazy angry to go above 500 pounds or more, you know? So I actually haven't smoked before workout in a long time. But Cormier, it is like his smoking cigarettes. It's just how it is. And he wakes up and smokes and has a meal and smokes. And so it was most of the time Cormier was just kind of smoking by himself, or he was smoking with my family. Like they'll smoke, like the girls that, that I'm like do my preps with, they would smoke with him. But no, I wasn't. And there was a bunch of times that, yeah, Chris was, Acido was for sure high. He was for sure. He could have went upstairs. He could have went upstairs and chose to stay downstairs. So he could play all this like, oh my God, it was so much smoke. He had his own room. He chose to sit right next to the mirror. So we're passing it in front of him because you know him back in the day. He probably used to party all the time.
I love it. I can see this going down too. Chris always finds a way to make sure he has the best story, Acido. Well, I wanted to ask you about training with Cormier though, because I spent, I don't know, 6-9 months with him, kind of what I call his comeback into bodybuilding. And you know, and I just remember some little things. I always tell people that, well, the thing I hated about Chris was he didn't know how to count. Because Chris, he'd be pushing you, and you're at 12, and he'll go three more. And then you do two more, and he goes four more. And you're like, I'm supposed to be done in one. So I had to learn to ignore his how many more, because it would fuck with my brain. I would just go until either I missed or he would stop me, because he would always do that. Three more, you do two. Four more, you do two. Are you fucking with me?
Right. It literally is, right. I think he does get off on just seeing how much he can push you past it. But I also think it's also sometimes he, like, he's not paying attention, but he might get distracted with something, and then he comes back into the workout, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay, all right. And then he'll go off of, and this one, unfortunately, I figured him out. He goes off of your grunts, too. So
he knows what level of pain you're really at.
Right. So, yeah. So what I started even doing, too, is I started giving him a little, like, a little bit early so he can start his five more sooner, because, God forbid, you grunt on your last one. On the 15th one, you got 10 more. Like, damn it.
I did a video with him, which I'm pissed. My old sponsor, they pissed off their internet guy, and he deleted their YouTube, so it's gone. But but I did a video with him where he was already, I think we went to the gym during a fight, like one of the huge boxing fights or something, and we were the only people in the gym, and we're filming legs. And I decided about halfway through the workout, when he was pissed off, to ask him, like, how did you take so many seconds? And just start hammering, like, did you ever win an Arnold? And I mean, by the end of the workout, I'm literally just laying on the ground. And I made him do the post interview with me on the ground, because I could not possibly have stood back up. I think Chris may have left me in the gym and went home after that.
But you got the most out of him by pissing him off.
Exactly. That was the goal.
Right.
It's funny, though. I mean, I would love to train with him now, because I'm not exaggerating when I say I feel like Chris had a moment where he forgot who he was, and he would come to the gym with me, and it was, in the beginning, he was asking me what we were doing. I'm like, motherfucker, tell me what to do. You're the boss. I'm the
next
bitch.
Next time you see Chris, tell him you said that, because that's literally my biggest gripe when we were training. And it's more too that, well, not maybe when you were doing it, because I know what you're talking about, because he talked about that time where he really was lost, you know, and he kind of doesn't know where he was going to go. But now he still does that. But it's more of like, he wants your input. He wants kind of like your opinion. And I just get to the point where, especially if I'm training with like a great, I will do whatever you tell me. You tell me to eat dog shit, I'm going to try it, you know? Right. Like, so I wanted to get to that level where you just like, you even see how crazy I could get. Just keep saying stuff. So I literally would have this argument with him all the time. Stop asking me, Chris. Just tell me. Like, you could tell me to go run 10 miles, and I'm not. I'm going to blow both my ACLs, and I'm going to still try. You know, like, I just want him to tell me something to do. So it's so funny you say that, because, right, that was my biggest thing, if I had to pick, the whole time, is I just wanted him to, like, abuse me. I wanted him to just, like, destroy me. And he's so methodical, too, when he's doing stuff, that he actually is trying to like kind of create a pack, like a program, and we're going to do this now, so that way we'll save stuff for later. Where me, I'm just like, I wanted to watch those videos like he did with Dorian. I was like, man, I want to be throwing up, and I want to be like a mess. And really, that's not always best. And a lot of times, and that's why he'll say all the time too, because he started training people at the gym in San Diego, which I was really glad, because I really want him to move there and kind of build a base there, because there's nobody. There's Derek Farnsworth, and that's it. You know, there's no bodybuilders really there. Pete, Chichone. So he was starting to train people. That's what he would tell people all the time, is that just because a trainer puts you on the floor and you're you know, incapacitated, doesn't mean that they actually trained you good. Sometimes they get off on that and they feel like they're building their resume. Like, oh, I made this person throw up. There's a big difference of being able to get a great workout, and then at the end you're destroyed, rather than that was the main goal. So that's a cool thing that he does, but that's rare to find. You're not going to be able to find someone who actually wants to fatigue you and kill that muscle, but they're not trying to get off on just like the pain part of it.
Yeah, no, he was definitely, I think that's because of Chris's demeanor. It's understated how educated he is on how to do what we do, you know, because I took a ton from him that I still use, you know what I mean? That while I was doing it, I wasn't sure, you know what I mean? But like you said, or you'd finish a workout and you're like, it's pretty good. And you wake up the next day just fucked. And you're like, oh, okay, that was a little better than pretty good. So, yeah, no, I'd love to see him get back blown up. And I think you guys teaming up will help that too, because, you know, I watched, God, who'd you interview with? It was someone right before, I think it might have been with Fuad, but just talking about training with him and how much that helped you in the posing, of course, you know?
Yeah. That was probably the biggest help. You know, people are like, oh man, everything that he did to change your body was amazing. And he did. I think a lot of the small details and helping my body kind of get really tight at the end helped. But he's only with me 8 weeks. And if you're a bodybuilder, wants to be able to build muscle, especially if he wasn't there for the off season when I was eating a bunch of calories. So I actually put that 12 pounds on in the off season myself, just by shutting off from the world. I lost all my sponsors. I lost everything. And I put this Arnold at the end. I really appreciated what he was doing with the posing and just breathing techniques and my abs and stuff like that. But I'm going to post this video because there's a video of me and him pumping up old school backstage with like the hands, you know, like they used to do. And man, it makes me emotional because I watch it. And I feel like it's me and my dad doing it. And you can see him. He's like, he's doing it and he's making more faces than I am. He's like pushing down and he's like struggling. And then you see him, he looks back, he's checking, okay, 5 more minutes. And then he's like pumping me up, you know? And it was just such that like father-son relationship that I never had. And I watch Labrada and I watch Hunter, you know, like they do that together. He does his whole routine with them. And I'm jealous, you know, because I never, not even with another person, I just never had that relationship. I've been doing this by myself solo. So that at the end was probably the best part that I loved the most, is that he actually treated me like he was his son. And I think, you know, Breon's amazing, you know, and he won the Mr. Olympia and they had their relationship together. But no matter what Chris says, he misses being able to battle for the open, you know? And I want to be that guy that me and him are backstage again, now getting ready for the Olympia and doing stuff like that. And anyone's crazy to say, if you think that Chris wasn't going about this Arnold like he was competing, can you imagine getting 5 second places and now you're prepping someone else for the show? You're going to be more invested probably than that person was. And there were so many times that people would comment on our videos, on my story or whatever I posted, and they're like, holy shit, I can't stop looking at Chris's face, because he really is doing the exercise with me. He's like struggling, sweating. When we were done with the Arnold, no joke, for 2 days he laid in bed. He was so dead. And if you know Cormier, man, he has to be up and about. He has to go out every night. He's like a big food connoisseur, you know. But 2 days after the Arnold, he was in bed dead, because his body felt like, that's what he kept saying. He's like, I feel like I competed in the Arnold. His body was so sore and he was just aching. And only someone who like him would do that.
Dusty and I had a question a couple weeks ago. It was like, how do you decide who's the best coach for you? You know? I mean, I think we, you know, bullshitted for an hour about it, but my final answer was someone who fucking cares as much as you do. That's a key. You could have someone who's the smartest coach in the world and they know everything about nutrition, but then you got some guy who fucking wants to win just as bad as you, and he's going to be there for you every minute of the way. And that's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, it's rare. And you really can only hear about it. Like, you see flags and and Neil, you know, and you see like there's a few relationships like that where they're just so close. But man, it just doesn't exist anymore. And you know what? I don't even blame the coaches. It's more the athletes. Because look at these athletes. Look at Chris's athletes. They'll go to him, leave, go to Kuwait, come back to him. Now they're going to go to Classic. Now they're going to go back to Open. And the whole time, Chris is like, all right, I'm here for you. I would have been like, bro, fuck you. You went to Kuwait? Get the hell out of here, you know? And right. And Aceto's another level. Like, I tell people all the time, I've been trying to tell Aaron about Aceto too. You're not going to find an Aceto. You're just not. No. But to have someone that actually cares when they know that last athlete just kind of like shafted them, it's just tough. Even if you do people's diets, you know, when you prep someone and they're cheating on their diet and stuff like that, over so many years of that, man, it just kind of kills your drive and your love for it. And unfortunately, sometimes you're going to go about someone else, not full on. And I think maybe that's why Aceto only takes on so many people. I think that's why Cormier only trains with so many people. Because I think if you only invest yourself into people that you're going to get it back from, you can keep that fire lit. Mm-hmm. Because we all know, you get 10 people that don't give a shit while you're giving 100%, you're just like, oh my God. It's so annoying.
No, for sure. I think that's Aceto's trick is I tell everybody, if you ask any of Aceto's athletes, they'll all tell you that they feel like they're the only athlete he has. Mm-hmm. You know, because I remember the first year I worked with him, I was getting ready for junior nationals. So I'm like lowest low man on the totem pole. You know, he's getting ready, Sed and Jay and all these people. You know, I'm driving home from the gym one night at like 11 p.m. here, which is, you know, 1 a.m. there. And I get a text, ding, how was legs tonight? I'm like, Jesus. One, it's 1 a.m. Two, you even know I train legs today. Three, you're checking? Not tomorrow, not an email. Right fucking now. How was legs? And I'm like, this guy's another level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We all have the story where Aceto wears the same clothes for 2 days and his hair is just fucked up. And I remember one time he was in my hotel room and like my girlfriend was like, can I get you something to eat? And he's like, nah, I'm okay.
No,
but right. He hadn't eaten like something. I don't know. Maybe like it was just crazy. And then after the show was over, just that look on his face, like, I'll see. Okay, I'll talk to you in the morning. Like, you know, and he told that story the other day on a podcast where, you know, I don't know, can't remember who it was that won the show, and
it was Sean. It was when he won the Olympia.
Yeah, when Sean won the Olympia, they go out for dinner, and Aceto's like, nah, just go. And he grabs a piece of pizza at the corner, like the corner store, and just goes up to his room with a Diet Coke and a piece of pizza or something like that. It was just crazy. You know, Sean goes to the restaurant with a $400,000 check in his pocket. Chris grabs a slice of pizza.
it's been on that spinning for 22 hours.
Yeah. You know. You can't get him to go to dinner after, and I finally, it's been a joke because I've been saying like whoever's gonna be able to get a seat or go to dinner after the show is their favorite. So I kind of mess with my Sean.
It was your goal.
Like, that's what I say all the time. I was like, I'm trying to work my way up to be Chris's favorite. And believe it or not, I'm not just saying this because on the show, you two are way above me. My God. I have to hear about how funny Ron and Dusty are. My God.
There you are, Ron.
They're the funniest people he knows. And if Aceto's saying you're funny, you're fucking funny. So I got him at this Arnold to go to dinner. And I'm like, yes, I'm even ready to message Cedric. I'm messaging everybody. Like, yeah, exactly. Because it is only if you're with him, you know it's rare. Because, man, he wants to go home. He's probably on the red eye to go back home before his wife yells at him for being gone too long. And get him in the car with Cormier. We're going to go. Because I even told all the people that came to the show, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go out to dinner with Cormier, my family, and Kit and Aceto, and that's it. And I'll meet up with you guys after dinner. So I even got rid of everybody that was at the show, kicked them all out. We get in the car, drive to this place. It's closed because of Corona. And then he just goes home. And I was like, no, I got so close.
That's awesome. That's
you guys, shut up.
That's a better story than it would have been. He's all, and it's closed. Meanwhile, Chris knew it was closed the entire time.
Yeah, he did. I was just like, he was just on the way to his hotel anyway.
That's fucking cool. Oh, man.
Well, Sergio, we've had you for over an hour. We really appreciate it. I know, you know, an hour of Australian beach time is very valuable.
It's good. I already told them I'm gonna train later. I'm still gotta get another meal in. This was good. I've been wanting to do this for a while because like I said to Fouad, there's like famous people in this sport that have like talk shows and stuff like that. But us, like the like gritty bodybuilding fans, we don't even watch them anymore because they're so fake. They're so clickbait and they're not being ran by really anyone who actually has kind of gone what we've gone through.
We're not just Generation Iron, are we?
Oh my god, they hate me. God damn. Vlad is the Sean Ray of videographers. He is the worst. Jesus. God.
There's our quote for the section of the show.
We were hoping you wouldn't hold back, you know. We didn't want to lead you down the wrong path. Well, I thought dealing with the hotel room situation was just pushing it enough for you.
I love talking about it because I mean, no matter what, like we're not wronging anyone. We're just having a good time, and I know that the people that are involved in my preps, they're good people, and that's what I was gonna say about with Aceto. That's why you always get a kind of like a type from him and Cormier, because the people they're working with are people like you or me, where we're just normal. And I say this all the time, and I don't mean to like attack anyone in bodybuilding, because there's so many people that get into bodybuilding for different reasons. You know, they were bullied, they were fat, you know, and they get into the sport or even powerlifting, and then they get a little stardom and it just changes them. And they're just not really like good people. They're just weirdos. How many times have you met someone that you worked out with and it was like the best workout? And they're like, man, let's go get some food. And then it's like, oh my God, I want to blow my fucking brains out. This guy is like, he cannot talk about anything. You know, you can't carry a conversation with them. Or vice versa. I have friends that I grew up with. They're my best friends. When I hang out with them, they're not going to be like, hey, man, you need to eat. When are we going to go to the gym? Right. So it's really hard to find people that you can have a good workout with and then have a conversation for more than an hour and, you know, time flies by.
I just need to make sure they're not a flat earther first. And then we're usually okay.
it's a quick test before the Uber gets there.
Yeah.
One question before you get in this fucking car.
Now it's if they wear a mask driving in the car by themselves. I'm out.
Right. Like, I'm out. I'm out for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we just kind of like automatically, even right. I mean, we haven't done the interview before, but every time I see you guys, it's just like, we're just kind of like all in the same circle, because everyone else is such a weirdo in this sport that unfortunately it's just like, ugh, God.
I love that I'm just nodding.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't for the guy with the hot skins and the cowboy boots at the expo, where would the entertainment be?
Right? Double down, my friend.
He's the best guy for sure.
Gotta keep that guy. Hope that guy travels soon. I hope that guy's not afraid to fly.
Put your mask on, kid. Let's go.
I think he was sitting outside the expo. He was just waiting. He was just there anyway.
Oh man. Well, thanks a lot, Sergio. We really appreciate
guys.
It. You know, hopefully we get some hits off this one.
Hey, one more thing. You got to tell the fans about the supplement line. Where can they get it and everything?
Yeah, God.
Dude, we suck. We all almost let that go.
Thank you. God. My God. My best friend would have been like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, and really it's the same thing I told Jake too. I feel like pushing any kind of businesses right now, it's just kind of insensitive, really, you know? Like, I haven't even made one post about either my clothing line or my subs, because I feel like, man, if I saw a post, I'm like, man, I don't... As soon as we have an end date, people are going to be different. If you even tell me this shit's going to be done next year, we'll all feel better. But this, like, you know what it is? It's that picture of Dave Chappelle where he's, like, holding all his money with, you know, have you ever seen that? And that's how we all feel. Like, man, I don't want to spend any of this money right now because this might be all I have. So, but yeah, either way. So it's Cosmic Industries. It's cosmic-industries.com. And then my clothing line is victoryclothing.com. So anyone goes there. I'm still shipping out from here, and I still have someone in California that's shipping. And then the supplements are being ran from Florida. So everything's going out. There's nothing's being affected by Corona, except people just aren't working out. And I can't imagine people are using a pre-workout for bands. You know,
right. Yeah,
I think you'll be okay without it. Right. I can't even pretend. And unfortunately, that's the thing I can't be in this sport. And that's why I wanted to create my own supplement company. Besides me getting screwed every year, I don't like people not being transparent. You know, like even when I get ready for shows, I take other supplements. Like when I was getting ready for the Arnold, I took Phil Heath's fat burner. I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say I took this of this, because that's how what we all do. We take this protein, this pre-workout. We're not all taking the same company. And the lying and the like, just like yeah, like this is why I couldn't be a Redcon athlete, because all those skits and those gimmicks, I'm not going to get in a bathtub filled with protein powder and pour the tub on my face.
I'll do that. Skits.
Right.
And that's I will do that.
and you know what? Now we can't bash people that have a good following on Instagram, because that's a skill. Knowing what your clientele wants, what your followers want to see, what's funny, you know, like algorithms, all that is now an actual talent.
Yeah,
and I just don't have that. I don't have that talent. That's why I don't even have a YouTube. When I should, I need to get on these things. But I know at the end of the day, I just want to eat, sleep, and train, and that's all I want to do. So now that I have full control over whatever I want to do, I can say whatever I want to do. So many times I've made a post, and then the sponsors messaging me, "You can't say that. You can't, you got to take it down," you know, right. And I'm with that life. And I get it. You have to nowadays, because that's how you pay your bills. So hopefully this will work out. But we all know if you do well in the sport, people are going to buy whatever you say. And that's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, if you've been real with them the whole time, they got no reason to doubt you. So there they go, you know.
Right. And a lot of these guys create supplement lines after they won Mr. Olympia, like after they're done. Like, I don't want to take Ronnie Coleman subs. I want to take the ones he was taking when he was getting ready for
Mr.
Olympia.
I hear you. I love it.
Yes, I would like the same subs too.
Yes. What vitamin shop do you buy those?
I always wondered how different the subs were. I like to tell myself there was a big difference.
Yes, that's the only difference between him and I.
Yeah. It was just Celtec and Nitrotec. That was it.
Right. Yeah. Failed me.
Halo or whatever.
Oh, shit.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And make sure you take a lot of quarantine workout videos. I know you don't want to overpost, and then you can post them after, and you can, like, you know, say throwback to Australia quarantine, and everyone can see you training in the shed.
Yeah, no matter what, this is going to be something we're all going to, once everything goes away, we'll all be able to laugh, and we'll be able to look at this and be able to bring the positive out of it. Right, for sure. So I don't want to forget about this time. I'm going to film it for sure. But yeah, throwing in people's faces are different.
Say hi to Aaron and definitely say hi to Adam. Him and I are buddies.
Oh, does that mean you're not buddies?
No, we're buddies. I like Big Adam. Oh yeah.
Because Adam's like the me here. Like, he fucking says everything. He's got a bunch of people that don't like him, but he never lies. He doesn't say anything.
So Adam's the dude where people go, "You know that guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's cool." And they're like, "I don't like that guy." And I'm like, "I'm fine with him. I don't know." He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. No, he doesn't at all. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, so say hi to him. We got to get, actually, Adam would be good on the show.
Yeah, he would. Man, he's super smart. He's really, he's too smart.
Yeah. Me and Dusty be drooling.
Yeah. No, he's good. Right. And man, I just automatically, we have this conversation every day when we train. I just have this automatic respect for people that are taller than 5'8 in this sport, because what they have to deal with and what us tall people have to deal with, it's just completely different. It's taken me 15 years to fill out my body, and I still only got fifth place at an Arnold. So, you know, like someone like him, he's like 6'4", he's a monster.
Yeah, huge guy. Okay, man, enjoy your Australia time.
Later.
Pride. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate it.
Boom. Ah.
So that was good, man. I love with people like Sergio, you can just let him like get rolling, you know, because he's got so much insight. Like, nothing that he does is random.
No, which I love. I'm really glad that I asked him about Arnold.
Yeah.
That was good. I after the show, I was saying, man, that one question was the one that I was really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. You would just have no idea, like, I mean, to fathom, like, oh, yeah, that's Arnold, just hang out at the house.
Yeah.
Like, when I was that age, that would have been kind of a big deal.
That's so he said Red Heat.
Yeah, so no, he said he was like 5, is what he said.
Yeah, so I mean, he would have already made Terminator. He would have already made Commando. He would have already made Predator. Like, Jesus.
He was definitely not just walking out their front door and down to the corner store without anybody noticing.
No, like, he at that point, can Arnold even use a normal airport? At that
point? Like, you definitely wonder, although I have seen some ridiculously famous people at airports where I'm kind of like,
yeah.
How to walk.
I saw Sharon Stone at the LA airport.
Like, did you buy a drink?
Nah. I was like, fuck, that's Sharon Stone. I couldn't believe it. Just funny. Waiting for a bag, sunglasses on. But that's the most famous person I've seen at an airport. What about you?
So, I've only seen athlete famous. Great athletes, but it's weird because athlete requires so much talent, but I still think an A-list singer or actor would be a bigger star in my brain, unless you're talking Jordan or, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Sharon Stone's an Oscar winner. So that's probably the most famous person I've seen in an airport.
Yeah. I mean, I've spent some time with you at airports, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty famous.
I mean, you do the biggest mutant show there is, Mutant on a Mission. Hey, so you've got some new releases coming out now.
I'm not going to lie. I have had TSA people recognize me.
Dude, remember I told you the last trip to Vancouver that happened? Remember?
Oh,
I walk up and
customs guy.
Yeah, before I get to the customs guy, he goes, "Dusty Hanshaw, what are you doing here?" And I was, before I could answer, he goes, "You're going to go see Big Ron's gym?" And I'm like, "Well, just tell me what I'm doing. You already know what I'm doing. This is great."
Yeah.
Took like 2 seconds. Click, click. No, he was swiping as we were talking.
It's funny. We bought a couple pieces of equipment.
Nice. What'd you get?
West Coast Iron. We got an Atlantis plate loaded flat chest press.
Oh,
that's really nice.
I know that. Yes.
And because, you know, the seated hammer plate loaded chest press, it's a little narrow for me.
Yep.
Like the frame digs into my wrist, right? So that's why
I grab the side of it.
Exactly. But the Atlantis one is like 6 inches wider. It's beautiful.
Right.
So we got that. And we actually got a new hammer incline. Now, we already have a hammer incline, so we didn't need it. But they gave it to us for such a crazy price that we could swap it out and sell the old one.
Right.
And we'd have
plus
a new.
Plus people that know that hammer inclines change. Remember, I told you, yours is different than mine.
Right. The one we're getting is the same frame, so it should be the same. But anyways, we're getting these two chest presses shipped in. And I put it on U-Ship.
Right.
And which is like the Uber of shipping, right?
Didn't even know that, but cool.
And yeah, so it's a great app. And this, you start getting quotes back. Mm-hmm. Bing, bing, bing. You know, these quotes come in, and I see the lowest quote, and I message the guy. And I go, hey, you know, let's do it. And he goes, hey, this place in the Toronto area where I'm picking this up, is this a gym? And I go, yeah, it's called Pure Muscle and Fitness.
Right.
And he goes, oh, I've been wanting to see that gym really bad. He goes, I hope I get to meet some of the guys. Whose number is this? And I go, it's the manager, Cody. And he goes, ah, cool. And then he goes, what about you? Are you at a gym? And I go, yeah, I'm at West. The address in Vancouver out here is West Coast Iron. And he goes, is this Ron Partlow?
I fucking love it.
Because on U-Ship, it just says Ron.
Right.
So he just knows he's talking to Ron.
Right.
But if I'm buying something from Pure Muscle and Fitness and it's going to Vancouver, wait a minute. So it turns out he already follows both gyms on Instagram.
And he probably watched the
and he knows all the Pure Muscle. He's a bit of a fan. Like, he knew Antoine trains there and all those guys. And so, yeah, it was funny that the U-Ship guy, is this Ron Partlow?
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That was a big moment. I would have teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
It was, I found it hilarious. But you know what? That's funny. There's people that love what we do and love to do it in every walk of life.
Oh, hell yeah. That's the best part is I tell people all the time, the first time I did shirts to sell, I made a bunch of shirts for my friends because I didn't realize that dudes who follow bodybuilding wear mediums and larges. And so I ordered all the wrong size. I mean, I had that stuff.
I got two dozen triple XLs.
Yeah, I had all these big ass shirts and I found large is the size you need. large and extra large is your fan base. And then when you start to realize, oh, wait, some of these people they don't bodybuild at all. They respect it. They like it. They work out.
Yeah.
But they have no interest in actually bodybuilding for themselves. And that was a wake-up call to realize that. And you get the same when you see people that, I told you that the kid that was working at the grocery store the other day, he yells across the room, I'm listening to you right now.
Yeah.
I was like, and I'm like, I wouldn't even know that you would know.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
It is funny who it surprises you.
No shit, no doubt, man.
Hey, do you have any questions you want to go over?
We got time
for one.
There's always time for one.
And I know, what happened was I saw you put up 200 questions in a row.
Yeah.
And I thought he's got to have at least one he saved for the show.
Yeah, so that's actually, I got one that's feeding off of my, it's funny because I haven't answered yet because I was thinking about doing it verbally because it's going to be too long. I put up a post that was kind of pointed this morning because I had a client who I helped turn pro in a very short time period, who told me he wasn't really listening to his previous coach. He turned pro. Since he turned pro, I can't get him to follow the plan 100% for like a day. And he finally, you know, I appreciate everything you've done for me and everything, but I think I need to go learn more things. And he did point out that he didn't follow what I told him. And I don't care about if people want to try a different shit. You know that. I've talked about that on the show before. But I took everything I had not to email him back and said, but you haven't learned this thing because right. You're not doing it. So I posted that saying, like, people don't realize that the biggest thing getting between them and their success is typically them.
Yeah.
You know, what they're doing, what they're not doing. So a fan followed up with me and asked, let me just read it here. Okay. So beyond following the plan day in and day out, what would you say is the second biggest mistake that the clients make with coaches in thinking that they should change coaches before they should?
Aside from not following the plan to begin with?
Yeah, because that was essentially what this situation was, is like you're changing and we never even started.
I would say it's either lack of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't just mean checking the boxes, right? Because some people think checking the boxes is consistency.
Right.
But it's applying intensity all the time. You know, you can't check boxes in the gym.
Right.
You can check boxes with meals.
Right.
That is true. I had 300 grams of chicken, 200 grams of rice.
Check.
Yeah. But when it comes to the workout, it's not just 3 sets of 10. It's the quality. It's way more than that. So I'd say consistency in the gym. It's one thing to have one killer leg workout, but you know, I mean, you and I know what it's like to think, when's the last time I didn't have a killer leg day?
Yep.
I can't remember. Like, we know what that's like. And a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah.
And so that might be it. Or just a communication problem. Some people are terrible communicators.
Right.
You know, they're not telling you what you need to hear, even if you're asking them exactly for it.
Right. Yeah. No. That's kind of what I was looking at too. Is I find that.
What do you think? Did you have like a one word answer you were looking for? Because I
cut. No. That's exactly how I would look at it. Because it's not a one
money.
Yeah, you're more expensive. No, I think realistically the issue, it always comes back to the thing you did say, the one word was consistency, because that's what I keep trying to hammer home. And it's something I put out because, like, for example, you know, Cole Eastfold is somebody I took on a couple of years ago. And what he has done, the way I like to press forward, what he has done is transform. Because I hand out programs similar to his year round.
Yes.
But I guarantee you, if I said, Cole, when's the last time you missed a meal? He might not know the answer, or he would know exactly when.
Yeah.
Yes. My wife was pregnant. We were stuck at a hospital 17th, you know what I mean? Like 2019. Yeah. I mean, because that's how discipline is. And it's like, I feel like that's the thing that gets missed. And I've talked to some of your clients as well. And I don't think that people realize that. It's not that you didn't figure out how to coach everyone. It's the ones that just truly take it to the next level. Because again, a lot of, you know, you did bring up something I didn't think about, which is box checking. Like I find, and I know you're the same. I know everybody who loves training is the same. When you get into a groove with your training, it's like a batter getting in a groove with his hitting.
Yeah.
Like don't throw a ball over a plate because I'm hitting it for fucking sure. And training, when you get into that groove, like for a show prep, it'll run all the way to the end. You know, where it's almost like last week's workout was insane, but I can probably beat it.
Right. You're just cranking homers.
Left and right, you know.
Yeah.
And like you said, on the flip, the rare occurrence that you do have a day, it almost throws you. So last week we had the interview and you talked about Dorian knowing when to not train. So that was Monday. Wednesday, I train legs. We get on the leg press early. I'm trying something different. My left knee just feels full. like there's something in it, but I'm looking at it. There's veins everywhere. There's no.
It feels like it's puffy or something, but
yeah, it just feels like there's fluid around the knee, like it's tight. You know what I mean? So I'm warming up, and I'm, you know, all right, let me massage gun it, and I'm doing all this shit. And I swear to God, I hear you describing Dorian, and I'm like, I'm gonna go home. I made an announcement to the empty gym because it was just me and my partner, and he goes, "What?" And I'm like, "I need to go home. I don't know what's wrong with this thing, but it's not injured, and this isn't going to be a good workout.
It doesn't feel right. Yeah.
So fuck it. And then I trained legs yesterday. I'm hobbling around because everything was fine, but it was just funny because when we were having that conversation, I couldn't remember the last time things didn't always feel good. Yeah. I don't mean achy, but I meant I knew the brain and body were both there. And it was just funny that I'm like, wow, 2 days later, I'm like, oh, today is the day. Yes. I come home.
Yeah. Well, hey man, that's you never know what you avoided. You never know.
Oh, for sure. No, I think back to, I mean, truthfully, 10 years ago, I trained.
Yeah.
You just train anyways. You just train harder. Well, stop being a bitch. And it's funny because you're like, half of the little aches that I have now probably wouldn't be there if I had this mindset 10 years ago, you know, because it's not laziness. You love to train. Like, there's nothing I'd hate worse than driving 30 minutes to the gym to drive 30 minutes home and not work out.
Right.
You know, it's the only thing I look forward to on Sundays. So, you know, it ain't that, but it was definitely an interesting. And to the question is, I think most people can't do that. Like, Chris has never asked me if I trained hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just stupid. You know what I mean? Whereas with these people who are looking for a secret or a new thing, I wish they would just realize it's like, I don't care if you leave, but at some point you have to realize that the issue is you.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to execute.
Well, I think that this is an interesting time to figure out how much you actually want to put yourself into the pain zone because of the difficulty that everyone's experiencing training. Mm-hmm. You know, I got guys that are telling me, man, I'm smoking these banded leg workouts with just a set of 80-pound dumbbells.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they're saying, yeah, I got my quad sore from those sissy squat supersets that I'm doing. And I found a way to get my hamstrings sore, and I found a way to get this super pumped. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a bummer, but they love to train.
Yeah, they're doing something. Plus, I've got some younger guys, not age young, but experience young, that are messing with me saying, you know what? I miss the fucking gym, but I will train better now because I can feel my muscle from all this band work and the activation and the mind-muscle going connection.
Lighter. They've been going probably going dumb heavy anyways.
Yeah, so now it's they're like
held back.
I'm sitting in my brain going, holy shit, like, we're going to come out of this with an advantage.
We might come out, I mean, learning is learning, right?
Yeah, well, and I mean, and these guys are so disciplined. I mean, dude, I feel like I won the jackpot with clients because truthfully, man, like, my clients are checking in on time. They're progressing. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, holy fuck. Like, I knew we could break even and not lose muscle. You know, so when you're seeing guys literally make, I mean, I had one guy, I literally laughed. Did I tell you about the umbrella holders?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that dude,
bought a bunch
that dude,
of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude has now built a gym out of just all sorts of pieces, and he's been sending updates on every 5 days. And finally, I was like, dude, you're the only person that's making better gains now than you did when we had the fucking gym. Like, he's just locked in, and I'm like, you know, to see people, I feel like these people now, when they do get re-released from prison,
yes.
It's going to be scary. Like, I think we're going to see like the slingshot effect of some people that blow the fuck up.
Their metal has been tested and their appreciation for the gym has been magnified 100-fold.
Yeah. Well, then they were forced to do the other shit.
Yeah.
You have to eat right. If you can't train right, you gotta get your sleep in. If you can't, you know what I mean? Like, so now all that foundation is going to stay, you know? So it's creepy because I know from when I was younger, when I did my hernia surgeries, I let the diet fall apart when I couldn't train.
Hey, nothing like, did we get that on camera? Did we go?
Oh my God, we have to.
Do we leave the show?
I think we end on the fat face victory.
We end on my fat face challenge that I put on Instagram. Isn't that glorious?
I remember. That's like, fucking, you didn't even have.
I was.
I'm embarrassed to post my fat pictures because I'm not on your level.
It's a little extra fat because I'm doing a side chest, so I'm like, what?
Oh, so you're going to tell me it's because you're not tan? Fuck off.
Yeah, if I was tan, I would you'd see the cheekbones if I was tan. But I look at this picture, Dusty. I'm 330 pounds here, morning weight.
That's fucking insane.
I don't even recognize. I'm like, holy fuck. I look like that. I was walking around. Like, I'm bigger than the stove.
That's what's fucked up about bodybuilding. You posted that picture, which is obviously just your face, and all I thought was, fuck, he's huge.
I can't even see the stove. It's gone. Completely gone. Yeah, it's pretty funny, man. But, hey, you know, what's it, been there, done that?
Can't
I got the t-shirt. I got the t-shirt and the picture. Yeah, can't carve a pebble, man. You can't carve a pebble. The shirts are coming. Oh,
no doubt.
Okay. Thanks, man. It's been, just for those who don't know, we actually recorded at night because of the time difference. So it was totally, if you think we were way worse or way better, let us know because this.
But either way, we're not doing it at 7:30 again. So fuck
off. No. So thanks to Sergio. We appreciate everybody. Remember, like, share, comment, and what's the other one? Follow. Subscribe. There you go.
We need the subscriptions. Yes.
Big Ron 20, Dusty 20. If you go on iammutant.com, order up whatever you want. There's always a good special on there. There's always something that you can get a deal on. And if you want something that's not on sale, use the code. Okay. Anything else, Dusty?
I think that's it until next time. And by the way, we have the next 5 weeks full of guests, people. So
we've got some good guests coming. We figured you have had enough of us and we can't sit around and talk about quarantine. So we booked a shitload of guests. And I guess that means that word's getting around that we're okay.
Yeah, they're letting us in. You know,
people are calling us back.
Right away. It's insanity.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. And remember, it's just bodybuilding.